are.
All right, I'm gonna go. Hello and welcome to episode 360, I think, maybe, of the Hooniverse podcast. I'm your host, Jeff, and joining me as always is my man, Ron. What's up, Ron?
Hello. What's happening?
Not much. You just got back from a bit of travel, right, sir?
Yes, sir. It's Thursday night here. We're recording, and I just got back this afternoon from a business trip to New York, New Jersey, and Kansas City.
Oof. Okay. Good barbecue, yeah, right?
I did have barbecue. Okay. I had a damn good ribeye as well. But the irony of this trip is that there was better weather. This is mid-March, mid to late March, and there was better weather in both New York, New Jersey, and Kansas City than here in Los Angeles.
Yeah, it's been pretty bad. You missed the tornadoes,
I think. Tornadoes. And then I heard that there was a hurricane in like NorCal and San Francisco.
Okay.
60 mile an hour winds, but there's definitely like an eye of the storm like situation. Wow. So I'm like, jeez, fuck, like I went to the Midwest and the tornadoes migrated west. And
I'm going to Florida next weekend, and normally I don't get excited when I go to Florida, and I'm very much looking forward to the weather because it's gonna be nice. So that'll be good. Welcome back home to the I didn't think we were going to have rain today, but it rained again today.
Oh, it did? I got here. Yeah. Literally, I'm not even joking. Like, it literally cleared up the second I landed at Long Beach. And when we landed, it was like a little bit wet. It was still damp. There were puddles around the airport and on the runway. But the skies opened up, and it cleared up the second that we landed and deplaned. Like, it was just like the parting of the skies. And
the afternoon was nice. It rained a bit in the morning. It wasn't crazy or anything, but the afternoon, the sun broke through. It was nice. And I think it should be that way for a little bit longer, and then some more rain next week.
Knock on shut the fuck up. Are you serious?
I've heard there's potentially more rain next week.
Oh my God.
It's crazy. All those dead bodies that were about to be uncovered in Lake Mead.
Lake Mead.
Yeah. Going right back up. I've heard the snowpack feeds that, and it's going to be, that lake's going to be full again in like a no time.
Oh man, I got to get a boat by summer.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what I'm hearing.
Speaking of Vegas, that was a random segue. Dodge has shown us and the world what is essentially the last of its supercharged V8s.
Right.
And they've done it in one hell of a fashion with the Dodge. Let me say the full name here. The 2023 Dodge Challenger SRT Demon 170. Bananas.
Yeah, 100%. 8 second quarter mile factory warranty. I mean, you can go into more details. I mean, I know about it, and I lust after one, but you give the real spiel.
So there's going to be a caveat to all the numbers, obviously. There's a couple of caveats. So the headline number is 1,025 horsepower, which is fucking insane.
Published only on E85, though, right?
That's it. E85. On 91 octane, it's 900 horsepower. So it's still pretty good. Though that's a big jump. The 170 in the name comes from the proof of alcohol in that ethanol blend. That's what the 170 is.
Stupid fucking thing. Like,
I agree.
I read that, and I read it mistakenly. I thought that was basically what the octane rating was of E85. I had no idea really, but right. No, that sounds outrageous. And obviously the alcohol content makes more sense, but that's like the proof. Like,
right.
What are we proofing fucking ethanol right. for? You're not going to drink that shit.
No. I mean, but I do like by the scoop, it says alcohol injected, which is pretty badass.
That's pretty cool. Yeah.
That's some drag racer shit. Yeah.
But it's not always.
No. And most of the time it won't be the headline number is a certified quarter mile of 8.91 seconds.
Yep.
It'll do wheelies. It'll do 0 to 60 in 1.66 seconds. That doesn't even make sense. With no electric motors, you know, it's
right. No all-wheel drive.
Yeah, that too. The caveats here are it has to be on the ethanol.
Right.
That is on a fully prepared surface, and talking to other people in the know, that is like when conditions are beyond optimal, like
totally
atmospheric, you know, it's like to time it to get that run I was talking to someone who knows this. They're like, they run where the humidity is at a point where the car thinks it's 600 feet below sea level. Like it's, right. I still think that means it'll run nines pretty regularly, but still.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, like, you can get it with a parachute. Demon, huh? Yeah.
You can get it with a parachute.
That's amazing. Like that stupid shit is what it, like, totally sells me on it. Like it also, like, I don't know if it's optional, but or if it's included, but it comes with like a whiskey decanter set, like, you know, with the, like the Demon 170 logo. Like they're totally playing up this alcohol thing, which is fucking hilarious. But, I don't know, kitschy shit like that, honestly, like, is endearing to me. But it's kind of weird. Like it's
passenger seat is optional too.
Oh, really? Mm-hmm. Optional. Oh, well, I guess it was the same as the Demon, right?
Yeah, it's gonna be like $1.
Yeah,
yeah.
But like, what's weird about it to me, and I totally understand why they did this, and I like actually kind of dig it, is it's got the wide body rear fenders, but not on the front.
Yeah.
Because like the Demon, when you took, you know, it basically came with four wide drag radials, right? And it looked pretty cool. Four 18-inch, like 305 or 315 drag radials. And it looked pretty cool because it filled out the wheel wells. But when you switched to the skinnies that came in the box in the trunk, like they're sucking in and it looks like, you know, you're on weird steelies. So I think the wheels that they showed on the demo car this week, I think they have... They're carbon barrels, like they're forged aluminum center sections with carbon barrels. So they're like pretty much flush with the fenders in the front, and obviously they fill out the rear wheel well. So, I mean, that's one of the secrets to the car's performance is, you know, unsprung mass, especially in the front, and it, you know, adds to the wheelie capacity. But I don't think that's the standard wheel. I think I heard that those are optional, but it is kind of funky to see the narrow body front with the wide body rear.
Yeah, I didn't even know. I didn't even pick up on that. I got to take another look. Huh.
Yeah, it's kind of goofy, but I understand why they did it, and honestly, it like adds to that, I guess, cachet, like uniquity, you know, compared to the other Demons, and just kind of sets it apart visually. Like at first glance, like, you know, it's not the the original Demon or anything else, but it's kind of funky.
I saw a Demon years ago on the freeway on the 91 heading towards a 15. And it was in full drag setup. So it had the skinnies on front and it was going like 50 in the right lane. Mm-hmm. And I was laughing. I was like, I wonder if I know someone who has a Demon. I wonder if that's them. And I took a picture of it and they replied, they're like, it was me. And car is fucking terrifying on the freeway, but it's in full drag setup. He's like, I was limping it to the drag, to the place I was going, which was very funny. They're going to make probably about 3,000 of them like they did with the other Demon. Yeah. And they all start just over $100,000.
I heard under, I thought it was 98.
No, it's 100. It's $100,361.
Okay.
I saw a headline that said there's a way that they're going to combat markups, but I didn't read the article and I don't see how they're going to combat markups.
No, like I've already hit up a bunch of friends that, you know, are connected with Mopar and like some that work at dealers and shit. I was just like, this, I have to have this. Like, I want this so bad. Even if I only have it for a couple minutes, like, you know, maybe a month or two, I got to have a car. Like, I don't know if we'll ever get the opportunity again to have a car that will do a wheelie on the street. Like, all I want to do. I just want it long enough that I can pull off a wheelie on the street. And then move it on down the road. I don't even care about making money on it, but I probably couldn't afford it, like, to keep it. But, you know, if I sold it.
You can make a couple payments and then you got to sell.
That's exactly what I said. We have a mutual friend that is connected to a Dodge dealer. And he hit me up like the day after I posted that. And he was just like, yeah, we might be able to get allocations if the dealer doesn't, like, if the owner of the dealership doesn't keep them all to himself. Because I guess this guy like kept like 25 Demons and he's just like the original Demons and just sells them off like a few every year.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, I don't even know how that's possible, but like that's why I don't want to name any names. But he was just like, we've already got basically bidding wars. I saw a bunch of people on different forums and stuff and, you know, different areas of the internet saying like, we've got bidding wars, like we're at 150 to 200 over sticker for an allocation. And he was like, our friend was basically like, I can probably secure one at 100 over.
Oh.
But yeah, like deposit's like $10,000 and like, you know, like it's going to be, you know, like like it's going to be 200K due at, you know, delivery. So it's like, fuck, man. Like I don't know that you can finance something like that. I don't know if Mopar, if Dodge will
they probably go to the MSRP and they're like,
right, the exactly. On you. For, yeah. Like, I don't know who would finance for 100% markup. So I was like, well, that was fun to consider and think of.
Yeah, daydream for a second.
18 hours, but you know, you're not gonna. I don't know how you're gonna find one at Sticker. I don't think they're gonna regulate that at all. I think it's totally a seller's market with that car, and they're just gonna do whatever they can do.
Yep. Even if the dealers have to pull the old Ferrari moves, where there's like, oh, this car's used. It's already there's been the name on the title.
Right.
It has 30 miles on it, but it's used. So now it has, now it's a $225,000 car. Mm-hmm. Eat shit. Mm-hmm. We didn't violate what Dodge told us to do. We're going to get future allocations of whatever. So yeah.
But that's the other thing is what do these dealers care about future allocations? Like what are they going to bring that's going to speak to like these Mopar purists that like, they're already rejecting the electric charger.
Right, right, right. Like, they're like, the dudes are like, I'm switching to fucking selling
anything.
XYZ, yeah.
Yeah.
It's like one of my favorite parts of the show Eastbound and Down is when Ashley Schaefer, the Will Ferrell character, switches to selling Kias. And it's funny at the time because when that came out, Kias weren't the best car. And, right. They're like, are you happy? He's like, of course I'm not happy. I sell fucking Kias. Which, if you sell Kias right now, you're making bank because totally. You can't even keep them on the lot. But at the time,
and they're a great product.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So that shit is always funny to me. But yeah, the Demon. What a way to say goodbye, because it's the last of the last calls. The seven
totally. Calls. It's funny you bring that up because it is basically the automotive equivalent of Kenny Powers. Like it's just like,
oh yeah, yeah.
Fuck you. Like he's just like. Yeah. It's just a fucking, it's literally a mullet, especially with that, with the narrow body in the front and the wide body in the rear. Like it's a fucking automotive mullet, like fucking fastball throwing fucking redneck of a car.
Yeah. Yes. Yes.
I want it.
Yep. Yeah. It's pretty badass. Kudos to them to go out on a high note. And I guess it kept getting delayed because they were like popping engines as they were developing this thing. They had to go back to the drawing board.
Because it was supposed to. It's got like some beastly head studs and shit like that. But
it's
like,
got basically all the internals, I guess, are upgraded and stronger. And then,
I mean, there's been so much development in the aftermarket. Like,
yeah,
I get that emissions certification and just warranty, like,
yeah,
and reliability issues are a completely different concern for an OE. But I wouldn't think there would be that many reliability issues.
They said they ripped through a handful of engines getting this to where they wanted it to be. They had to switch to a bunch. They had to also do some drive shaft, drive line upgrades too.
Well,
axle housings, stuff like that.
Better that they find those issues in development as opposed to Z06 where owners are doing.
Well, they might have found that in development too. But they're just like, send it. So yeah, the Demon is wild. I got asked if I could go out there and attend, but I couldn't get out there in time. It would have been cool to attend, but it all.
That was a wild event. I mean, a lot of the homies were out there, but they helicoptered the car in. Like I didn't really see. Obviously, I didn't see firsthand, but I didn't really see like detailed video of how that car was secured. But it seemed like it just landed and fucking drove straight off. Like nobody like jumped out to like undo ratchet straps or anything. Like who sat in that car while it was in a helicopter hundreds of feet in the air and just fucking drove it off this like hanging platform?
I don't know. I didn't notice that. But I'm sure there was a cut in the video at some point where they just popped some straps. But still, I wouldn't sit up there even if it was secured as good as it could be. It's a hell of a reveal. Vegas is the place to do it. I'm sure everybody who has the means and wants one has already spoken to their people, and the orders are happening. And
totally.
So yeah. Now switching to something I did get to drive, which is a completely different car than a Dodge Demon. I just spent a week with the Genesis G90, and it is pretty damn nice.
G90 is the flagship sedan,
the top, yeah,
yeah.
And it comes in, it basically, I guess they come equipped essentially the same way. It's just, do you get the the twin turbo V6 or the V6 that's twin turbocharged and has an electric supercharger. Yes. So I had that one.
You like decouple it and just cruise around boost free. Does it have like cylinder deactivation or anything like that?
I have no idea. I don't know how it works. I just know that instead of having like 3-something horse, it has 409 horse. Both of them have all-wheel drive. Both of them have the same like power-operated doors, like Rolls-Royce type shit. All four doors, you hit a button and they open up and you close them with power. Yes.
No shit.
It's pretty. Yeah, there's like a lot of, there's some like, there's some pretty good tech in there. There's a thing in the audio system where you hit a button and it mimics the sound of the Boston Symphony Concert Hall. The seats
like
are all
acoustics. Like
yeah. Like when you cut the song off, it has that like that echo hang. Yeah.
Right.
And then it has, you know, obviously heated and cool, but massage. The back seats were reclined. They could recline a bit. My daughter kept calling it, saying, "Dad, I want to take the mini limo." She kept calling it a mini limo. Yeah. She was sad when she got home today and it wasn't there. And the Montero is just sitting in the driveway. She's like, "Oh, we're taking that to karate tonight." I'm like, "Yes. Get in."
That's awesome.
Yeah, and you got to shut the doors yourself on this one. But it's their most expensive car. It's right at 100. And I mean, I think it has more styling presence on the road than the more expensive, you know, Benzes, S class, Audis. I think the wheel design is pretty fucking cool. Cause there's actually design there. The daytime
killing it with wheel design, like as a wheel designer, like they are on top of their game. I mean, AMG does some like simplistic like mesh and multi-spoke styles that are cool and like fit well, but like nobody puts as much effort into wheel design as Genesis. And specifically, not Hyundai or Kia. Like they reserve like their sickest shit and like most intricate designs for Genesis.
Yeah. This car had that. It had matte finish paint, a really light white interior that was just bright and gorgeous wood finish, different tones to like the trim was like, it wasn't chopped carbon, but because it was much lighter looking than that, but it was like a blend of real wood with like this just different type of material and then ambient light. And so I don't think it's definitely dynamically in terms of the driving experience, you know, the Germans still beat it. Just they're better there, but this isn't a dynamic experience type of car. So just cruising around, it was supremely comfortable and the steering's really light. Like you could just, so it's, I don't want to say it's more Rolls-Royce like, but it's much more comfort focused and luxury focused than like, oh, this is a dynamic luxury sedan. You know, it doesn't need to be that too, but it still does have 409 horsepower. So it can get up and go all wheel drive. It's pretty impressive.
Is that the top spec driveline or powertrain?
Both of them are all-wheel drive. So it's either just you have the electric supercharger or not.
Okay.
Yeah. So they're both 3.5 liter twin turbocharged V6s. And then the one gets the other extra bit of forced induction on top of that.
Interesting.
And that the other one's like 80-something. This one's like right at 100, 98. And the one I have is like 100. But it does the other stuff too. Like you can change the scents, you know, that come through the cabin, Benz has done for a long time. Really nice head-up display, cool steering wheel design. But then on the flip side, you can tell where Hyundai and Genesis and Kia, all of them are still, they, at some point in their product development, they made a choice where to have wired Apple CarPlay is on the smaller screens and the fancier screens have the smaller ones have wireless. The upgraded systems have to be wired and it's biting them in the ass and they can't change it until the product cycle goes around. So like this $100,000 Genesis, if you want to use CarPlay, it has to be wired, which almost everybody now you can just be wireless and good to go. I still had a wireless charger.
I was going to say, is there like a place for your phone where it's like, lay it and charge it and plug it in and it's at least like a secure
Even look for the plug because I just didn't use CarPlay. I just used this system and it was fine. It's just CarPlay's more convenient and wireless CarPlay even more so. Right. But yeah, man, the car was really good. And it was an interesting comparison because I had two, normally I don't have the press cars overlap, but around the same time, I had the Mercedes-Benz EQS SUV. Mm-hmm. So it's the largest electric SUV. It's kind of like the GLS, but electrified.
It's so weird. Like, so there's the EQS sedan and then EQS SUV.
Yes.
Like, do they, is it badged SUV or is it just badged EQS? Like,
No, it's badged like EQS.
It's
just badged EQS, but I mean, it just looks like a tall, you can tell obviously that, but I think that's how the EQE is as well. I think it's an EQE sedan or EQE SUV. But
I didn't realize I'm getting confused and lost with like nomenclature from BMW and Mercedes. Like,
yes,
you posted, I think XM yesterday, but it's not all electric. It's a hybrid.
It's a plug-in hybrid. Yeah.
Dude, like XM, like what is the electric SUV? IX?
I don't even remember. But the XM, the crazy thing about the XM is it's the only the second ever fully M-built product. Like, that's just M division, which is crazy. It was like the M1.
Really?
Yes.
That's so bizarre.
It is bizarre. Yeah, and everybody who drove the XM said it drives fucking amazingly. Some people said the looks are coming around on them. I'm not sold on that. The interior looks really nice, though. The
interior looks sick. Does it have like all that copper shit?
Yeah, you can have. I mean, there's a couple different colors I've seen that look really good. But then the crazy thing is, there's a more powerful version coming of the XM called the Label Red.
Right.
So 735 horse.
Why? Like, I don't understand the difference between that and X5M. I assume there's an X4M. I know there's an X6M. Like, why is there a bespoke M division SUV when you have all these M division SUVs already?
Yeah. Why wouldn't you make this one the electric one if you wanted to go that route? Why do the plug-in hybrid? Though it does get 30 miles of EV range, which is good too. But still, yeah. Like, I don't know. I don't know. Maybe it's like
a powertrain perspective. Bridge. Maybe that's the future. But like, it's just confusing as fuck. Like, I wouldn't know what to go in and ask for at a BMW dealer. Like,
right. Yeah, I hear you there. So the Genesis is awesome. The Benz was really, really nice on the inside. Mm-hmm. One of the worst brake pedal feels I've driven in a modern vehicle because it has an electromechanical brake where it feels like the feedback changes constantly. Mm-hmm. So the only good way to drive it is in full regen mode and let the car do most of the work. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, like, you're just never confident in the brake pedal, which is so weird. The rest of it was fine. But it was like oddly disappointing, except the fact that on the inside, it's like, all right, yeah, it's still, you know, basically an S-Class in here, you know, pillow headrests and all that shit. Mm-hmm. So, but the Genesis was more interesting and exciting to me for sure. But enough about those fucking cars. You've been gone, so I'm assuming nothing has happened in your car space.
Absolutely nothing's happened in my car space, but I did get chauffeured around New York, New Jersey in basically one of like our RVP's wife's car, which was a new Range Rover extended wheelbase.
Oh.
It was on 22s, but I think it had factory tires. It had 22-inch rotiform on it, so it rode beautifully. Like,
yeah,
you know, we're all just like looking at it like it should have 24s, but you know, I think it's his wife's car, and like, you know, he's just like, I don't want to go too crazy, I don't want her complaining about the ride of her new SUV. Yeah. But fucking thing was sick, dude. Like, I was in the back seat and like, you know, reclining seats, and I didn't take full advantage of everything. I assume it had like heated and cool rear seats. I didn't take advantage of all that, but I got picked up from the airport in the same Gladiator that I drove for a few months when my Audi was in the shop after the fucking windshield got smashed.
Yeah.
Like, we shipped that to the East Coast. In fact, Callahan like shipped it out to the East Coast and had that like as a demo vehicle for a while. And now it's just like making the rounds to like our East Coast warehouses. It's got a different lift on it. It's still got 38s and shit, but like it got picked up from the airport and we drove from JFK to Long Island, and oh my God, my ass got pounded in the backseat of that thing. It was fucking, it was so goddamn uncomfortable. Like, I kept checking because it felt like I was sitting on a wallet or something. Like, the seat was so uncomfortable. I never sat in the back seat of that thing as long as I drove it. But God damn, it was uncomfortable. And like, I was just like, dude, please don't do this to me. Like, we're going to all five boroughs tomorrow. We're crossing every fucking bridge. Like, please don't make me sit in the back seat of this motherfucker tomorrow. So to my surprise and like, you know, to my satisfaction, he picked us up in the Range Rover and I was like, fuck yes, this is gonna be awesome. And like,
nice.
It just like, there's just such a level of attention and like care for passengers in those kind of vehicles. And like,
oh yeah,
you know, like I was taking pictures of like all the door handles and all the switch gear and all that shit. And like the extended wheelbase rear doors, like they're like 60. I just kept joking, like these are like 67 Eldorado doors. Like they're just like the longest goddamn doors, like probably of any car available today.
Yeah.
It's weird because they're rear doors. And like one of our sales guys was riding in the back seat with me as we made all these stops. And like, he didn't realize it until I pointed it out, but he was like, God damn, you're right. He was like, these are fucking some long ass doors, dude. Cause it was like, you know, like he was like, we would park on like a one-way street on the left side of the street, maybe like scaffolding and shit. And like, it's like, fuck, like I can't even get out. Like,
right.
They're so long. Like it's something that you don't think about until you're in it. But, I don't know. Like normally I'm just like, I don't really care about like luxury vehicles, like Range Rovers, Bentleys. I mean, I do like Bentleys, but like Rolls Royce, like shit that's just look like maybe not ostentatious, but just luxurious and not like performance oriented. Like that's why I like Bentleys, because they're fucking quick and they, you know, handle much better than like a Range Rover or a Rolls Royce. But it was really nice to be basically chauffeured around even New York City and their shitty streets and in the back of that thing. So I get it, man. Like I understand why they've like upped their game, upped their pricing. Like there's the content, the luxury is definitely there.
Yeah, no, it's a sweet truck. Absolutely. On my front, I'm about to get the Jag officially smogged, which is exciting.
Saying this for a month.
No, it's actually, I've lined up the date. It's happening.
Okay.
And then
I'll be quiet.
The Montero, I still have my check engine light on after replacing the sensor. So I think the wiring into the sensor might be bad. Otherwise it's running fine. It's just when I first start it in the morning, it takes a couple times and then fires up once it's getting like the proper fuel. So I think it's that coolant enrichment sensor that initially isn't sending it enough fuel because it doesn't know the temperature. Sure. But blah, blah, blah. I'll get that fucking thing fixed and then the truck will be fine. But it is running fine. I drove it around today. I, you know, put 20 miles on it and no issues. So that's good.
All that matters.
So that's, I don't have anything else for the fleet. So I'm going to jump over to our Instagram questions because we got a few of them. Let me pull these up once I find them. Oh, there we go. All right. See all. Start from the bottom. How did somebody send me a picture? Oh, okay. Dron Bradley asks, what are you guys wearing watch wise today?
I had my Bell & Ross BR-3092, whatever it is that I got from our buddy
Kev.
Right? No.
Oh no, you got it from JD.
Yeah, and back in October. But what's Kev funny JD about that is like, yeah, exactly. That like that watch, like it, it's. I normally wear it a little loose on my wrist, but like that drives me crazy. I hate when a watch like too. Fucking like rotates on your wrist.
Right.
And it like, it won't spin around or anything, but like the difference between like one notch on that band is like suffocating like my wrist. It's like cuts off circulation and it creates like an imprint. And so there's like an embossed logo, Bell & Ross logo on the inside of the factory rubber strap. And it leaves an imprint with RB basically because it's inverse. Yeah. So it leaves an imprint of my initials on my wrist when I wear it like at the proper tightness. But
that's funny.
I mean, I pretty much wear that watch every day and that's why I wanted it. And like, you know, I put that out there, whatever it was like a year ago, that's like the watch that I was looking for because it's kind of like a bang around watch that like, if you know, you know, but at the same time, like it's not ostentatious. It's not real showy or anything. And like, I don't have to like be delicate with it. Like I can fucking
no
wear it anywhere, pretty much.
Yeah. 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 I'm wearing this Seiko I've been wearing ever since I bought it like 2 months ago. It's the modern version of the old Arnie from the 80s. And I love it. It's incredibly comfortable and I think it looks awesome and I love it.
Nice.
That dude Pasha bought a 97 Mountaineer V8 all-wheel drive, old lady, yeah, old puff, 80s, sick. 90s truck hit hard. Not a question. It's a statement, but I appreciate it. That is it. That's like an awesome daily driver.
It's, you know, they've got 5.0s and they've basically got what the Ford Performance Parts or Ford Racing back in the day called the GT40 intake.
Yeah.
And you know, they're just like little torque monsters, like they're super fucking cool, man. And he got the thing for a fucking steal. I'm just like, let me get that.
Mustang guys used to take that intake, right?
From it's still a thing to like, you know, you won't find them anymore, but like if you'd go to the fucking scrapyard and fucking steal that intake, and it was basically like budget GT40 intake.
Rimhammer asks, the start-stop engine feature, how do you disable it once and for all? It depends on the vehicle. Well, you can't. I think it's government mandated that you cannot. Unless you know someone with who can tune. There's probably like computer tuners out there who could do that from the fact, like not from the factory, but like an aftermarket way to do it. But no dealer will do it. And I think technically, like you can't permanently defeat it. It'll always default.
Does it though? Like my car defaults to whatever setting you have. Like
it does.
You set it to, yeah, for sure. Like I don't have to turn it on.
Sometimes with Audis, that could be part of the. Your tune though too, because sometimes with Audis,
it's not.
I remember if I would get in, it would say it was in dynamic mode, and it would tell me the transmission was, but I could tell it wasn't, and I would have to like click off and click it back on.
My car has a button, and the car has memory. Whatever you, if you click it off, it stays off, and like if you, even if you have it on, like you said, if you have it in dynamic mode, then it turns off. But like I tried, but I was like, fuck it. Like I never ever use start stop. There's 1 week where I was commuting, it was especially bad, and I was like, all right, fine, I'll try it, and like just like kind of hypermiling, just see what kind of mileage I could get, and it got on my nerves after like, I don't know, four or five starts, and I was just like,
no, I hate shit. It.
But like for the most part, I forgot it was even there. Like I had to find the button on the dash, because once you turn it off, it's off.
That's good. Most of the time, that's not the case. Mr. Steal Your Dog, does Ron want to go to my bachelor party? There's going to be bats, booze, and bros.
Hell yeah, bats! Like
he's in Austin. He's in Austin, so he's talking about the bridge with the bats.
Oh, hell yeah! Yes, Josh, please, yes, I will come 100%.
All right, save the date, end of June. Taylor 356, thoughts on third party car warranties for after factory warranty expiration? I don't know if you've done your research and the internet says, oh yeah, this company does what it, just do your research. I think that's the best thing there. I don't know enough about them. But if the people who've actually experienced them say like, yeah, they paid and they covered, then fucking go for it. If you have a car that is prone to fucking up your life, maybe it can make your life better. Dissonant Smithing, any new pup fosters in the works? I know, good shirt tonight.
What's up, Chad?
Not at the moment, because we have a little bit of travel coming up, and we want to just hold off till the travel's done. Just it makes life easier in that case. But as soon as he asked if we have any foster pups coming up,
No. What I was going to ask is, what do you normally do with Pearl when you guys travel?
We have a dog sitter that stays at the house.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
I'm very I'm always available.
You'd have to stay here though. She would probably not. She would lose her mind at your place.
Really?
No. But the thing is, she never goes to the bathroom in the house, which is amazing. Right. As long as we've had her. But if she's nervous on walks and stuff with people she doesn't know, she'll like hold it till it's a problem. So yeah.
Okay.
So I don't know. But you can stay here. You could have a week here. It'd be easy to get to your office.
Yeah, totally.
Cooley 156. Someone called me the F-350 of humans recently. Jeff and Ron, what cars are you the human of? Is F-350 a good thing, or does it just mean that you're ultra American?
Is that a bad thing?
No. I'm just wondering why that's like a patriotic truck.
I mean, I figure like I imagine the personification of F-350 is like just a big, burly, dependable dude that, like, you know, protects his family, just fucking gets the job done, doesn't complain, and just, you know,
hell yeah, brother.
He doesn't move too fast, but, you know, he'll get the job done.
All right. That's pretty good. But what car are you?
You go first. You go first. I got to think about this for a second.
Maybe the Montero and I were meant to be, because, like, we talk like we'd like to go outdoors or off on adventure, and we don't go off on adventures as often as we would like to think that we should. So maybe that would be a good one.
I built my Mustang as like not necessarily personification of myself, like automotive. Like, it definitely represents my interest and, like, you know, kind of like my desire to, like, meld cultures and build styles and shit. But I don't know that that's an accurate representation of who I am as a person. I don't know, man. Like, I'm definitely a Mustang guy at heart. So I think all the Mustangs I've had in my life would probably be a automotive representation of myself. Like, my first 93 GT convertible, it's red, white, top white interior. And then, like, I had an 05 GT that was supercharged. And, like, I feel like that car definitely, like, suited me, my lifestyle, and just, like, you know, my taste better at that moment than any car that I've ever had. But, yeah, I'm a Mustang guy at heart. I'm looking forward to the next Mustang, driving it and seeing if it's for me. But I don't know. It's American, like, but persona, like, personalized. Like, you can just, like, you know, be yourself. Like, Mustangs are like 911s. Like, you know, there's so many options to personalize and, like, build to your taste and just make a unique personality. So I guess just Mustang in general would be the automotive equivalent of myself.
I got to write down the title: which human car are you? So I also thought of another thing about the Montero. It's like, sometimes I walk away from it and I'll look back, I'm like, damn, that thing looks good. And then other time, most of the time, I look at it, I go, fuck, that is old, and you can tell. So that's another reason why it's like me.
Yeah, it's like, I'd love to say my Audi is like the perfect representation of my style and my, like, my taste, but, like, nah.
Yeah.
Like, if I didn't get the deal that I got on that car, like, I would never ever even consider it. But you know, I enjoy it for what it is, and it's like, you know, I think it's low key. It's not like an AMG. It's like brash in your face. Like, it's a sleeper, which I kind of like. I like being underestimated personally. Like, you know, I think I surprise a lot of people sometimes. Like, you know, most of my friends, like, have been like, thought you were like this stupid fucking car guy, but, like, you know, there's like actually some substance. Like, somebody, like, the ultimate compliment was just like, you're like an onion. Like, you know, there's layers to you that I didn't expect, and, like, you know, you're a lot smarter than you let on. I'm like, I guess that's a compliment.
Right. You sort of. Yeah, sure. Thank you. Sean Keeley asks, can I review a Bradley fighting vehicle for Universe? Yes, definitely.
What is that?
Like a tank.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
With tracks. I think it actually
is a tank. Yeah, because he used to be in the Army. West Point graduate, Sean Keeley. Also, Josh asks, license plate ideas for because he recently got a 2014 Raptor, and then he has an 02 Lexus IS300 Sport Cross with a manual. So he wants license plate custom. He wants, like, personalized plates.
Sure. Damn. I don't know, man.
Tell me a joke right now. Josh moved to Texas, so I was doing ones that would get him shot, where it was like, fuck totally. Texas, and, like, stuff like that. He didn't think those were good choices. yeah, geez. Mystic Negro asks, watching fools do 85 on 85 in torrential rain, Ron, who has the worst wet drivers, L.A. or the A?
100% Los Angeles. Like, yes. L.A., like, the thing about Los Angeles, like, now we've got so much rain that it's we're accustomed to it, but more importantly, it's washed away. The biggest issue with rain on LA roads is that there, we go so long without rain that like there's so much oil, grease and shit like on the street. So like the first rain always brings that shit to the surface and makes a super slick driving surface. Like Atlanta gets rain all the time, you know, like what we're experiencing now could be a typical like spring or summer in Atlanta. Like it rains like every few days in Atlanta typically. So the drainage systems, just the design of the roads is much more capable of dealing with that. And you don't get the oil and grease and shit baked into the road like you do out here. So that's what people don't consider out here. And people that move from other places and come to LA, they're just like, people don't know how to drive in the rain. It's like, motherfucker, you don't either. Because that first rain will fucking shock you. You won't understand like how slippery the road surface is like for the first few days, because it's just like, it's almost like an oil slick. So, I mean, drivers are worse in general in Atlanta, I think, because they just really don't give a fuck about anything. So in general, drivers in Atlanta are worse, especially like Atlantans, like, let me rephrase it. Atlantan. Like people that have been around, like they just like, you know, there's no signaling. There's no, it's like there's no zipper merge. Like, it's just like fucking charge to the pack and force your way in. Just like, you're just like, it's just, you're a rolling middle finger to everybody else on the road. LA's not quite that bad. I saw some real quick.
LA is so the traffic is self-absorbed. Where like they might not signal, but they also didn't realize that they're supposed to do that. Like, it's not 100%. Malicious. It's just fucking so into their own shit.
Yep.
And it's really frustrating. It's a different type of frustrating where at least I can appreciate the guy in Atlanta is like, fuck you. I know what I did.
Yeah, exactly. But like, I think that's exacerbated by the presence of Teslas and self-driving or perceived self-driving. Like, you know, I just see people like, you know, they just are oblivious. So literally just on their phones, like head down, don't give a fuck. Like my car is doing my job for me. Like I saw a Tesla a few weeks ago, and I'll post this tonight or tomorrow. Had a bumper sticker that just said, I'm probably not driving. And that's like, that's what you can expect from Tesla drivers, especially commuting on the 405. They'll be like damn near half asleep. And like, not looking, not paying attention at all, like not participating in the driving experience, just fucking getting what they think is chauffeured around like by a computer. And like that shit drives me crazy. So they're the worst drivers in Los Angeles, and they're completely checked out and just letting the car do everything for them.
They're checked out or it's such a range with Tesla people. They're either checked out or driving it like it's a fucking Ferrari.
I see that around here. If I had one, that's how I would drive. But like, I really don't see it. Like, I goad Tesla, especially like Plaid drivers and like, you know, just Model S drivers. Like, I'll just like cut them off and like just be aggressive around them just to see if they want to play.
But, well, you should do that to the ones who are self-driving. To get them to wake up.
They're not paying attention. They're not.
Oh, I know. The car will be like, whoa! The car will hit the brakes. And fucking make their heads hit the steering wheel.
I saw the most egregious driving on Long Island. I guess that was on Monday when I got picked up in the airport and we went back to Long Island. It was like a fire captain or fire chief in like local fire department in a Suburban, a new Suburban, lights flashing, sirens wailing. This motherfucker blew past us. We're kind of sitting in traffic on a divided highway. Just had like a concrete like median, you know, just like a curb median, but it was probably like 3-4 feet wide. And this motherfucker blows past us in the opposite lane, going easily 60 miles an hour against traffic. There's traffic coming, like nobody's slowing down or stopping. He doesn't give a fuck, hauling ass. Like I was like, is that fire chief like running from the cops? Like the most reckless driving I've ever seen. Against traffic, he hops the median 2 or 3 times, just like it's nothing. Like he's got like, you know, Fox shocks and like 37s, like literally just like debris, dust flying everywhere, and like nobody bats an eyelash. Nobody like gives a fuck. It's just like, yeah, that's what he's got a call. Like he's got shit to do. Like everybody like bails out of his way, and it was like I was blown away, but nobody flinched. Like they were just like, yeah,
that's about right. Sounds about right. Type R. Kelly asked, do you guys think MSRPs on everyday new cars will ever be somewhat reasonable again? I think automakers at some point will have to introduce like more options at a lower level, but I don't know if existing vehicle MSRPs will just drop unless the economy literally just like falls out of the out of the bottom.
The only motivation will be in a glut of inventory. Like, you know, as long as they can sell shit and, you know, maximize profit, they're not coming down.
No. Yeah. I mean, there's still instances where they're still fighting shortages of shit too. So that's not helping anything. So we have a ways to go with that regard. And then the lazy Dutchman asks, what's the best Volvo for a wife that crashes into everything? I replied to him via text cause I know him. And I said, any of them. But then he said something middle-class CarMax slot. I was like, oh, get an XC60 and you'll be happy then.
Do they have one that's like an all road with like the gray plastic cladding instead of like body color bumpers and shit?
His wife wouldn't be an enthusiast. I don't think she'd want a wagon. Like the SUV would be like the appealing thing. Otherwise, yeah, I'd be with you on that for sure. Cause I'd say, you know, V60 is not that's middle class affordable, but I mean, non Polestar ones, yes. But is anything middle class affordable anymore? There is no more. Yeah. Middle class is being left by the wayside.
I don't even understand how everybody's buying all these fucking cars. Like, you know, about a, 2 years ago, I bought a, that was 2021. I bought a 6-year-old Audi and like, I make pretty decent money. You know, I don't have a dual income household, but I'm just like, it's outrageous what a monthly payment is on like a $45,000-$50,000 car. Like, it's just, you know, there's no way around it. It's just like, I don't understand how everybody's driving fucking $100,000 cars.
Like, yeah.
How
every time I see someone with like an Explorer ST, I'm like, did you need the ST? Like, why wouldn't you at that point have jumped to like an Acura or something?
But I mean, like, you know, a C63 is now a $100,000 plus car. So yeah. Really, so is an M3. Like, you know, like the standard for luxury or performance is so dramatically higher than it was even 10 years ago that like, I just don't understand like how these cars sell so well and are in such high demand.
Yeah. But I don't know, man.
Prices are not coming down. It's never going to happen.
Right. I don't see it. That's why I said they have to introduce like a lower tier of car for people to be able to afford a new car.
Well, I mean, they did that with the A-Class with the 1 Series like years ago, but like those cars,
no, but I mean like Ford Fiesta level, not Mercedes, not, you know, I mean like a Chevy Bolt. That's because that's already actually that's an affordable car right there, you know, because you can get those under 30, which is amazing for an electric vehicle. It's like whatever the cheapest Nissans are, that like that's the level. But the quality of them, well, I mean, they're all pretty good, actually, if you look into them.
Yeah.
I don't want to drive one, but they're not bad. Yeah. I don't know. That's all I've got for this week. Next week, the Jag should be smog, so everybody knock on wood for that one. And then I'm going to take photos of it this weekend, and as soon as the smog goes through, I'm going to reach out. I don't know what the waiting list is like to get into cars and bids, but I think that's where I'm going to put this biatch and go from there.
It's going to be a race between that and my tax refund.
There you go. All right. Well, thanks for listening, everybody. And we will see you on the next one.
Adios.